Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Third Stream View. I'm your humble, yet often not so humble host, the mighty, unstoppable, indefatigable PK, here at BBS Radio on Monday evening, April 2nd. And I'm here every Monday evening at 8:55 Pacific, 10:55 Central, 11:55 Eastern, always paying homage to the suits and the office at bbsradio.com for promoting free speech and free minds and free thought and anti-censorship and anti-authoritarianism and anti-totalitarianism. Thank you very much. And we oppose all those politicians led by that idiot, Lieberman, and that crowd who would want to give the government a switch, as it were, so they could shut down the internet when they think it's a national emergency or national security, those sort of things. That's always used to invoke an excuse for more power, more government control. So that's what we're faced with here. Now, you can call in and talk to me or challenge me or debate me. The number here is 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471. It's bbsradio.com, station 2. Always a lot happening in the news, as you know. They're still stirring up trouble in Syria. I'm sure they'd still like to pick a fight with Iran to further bankrupt our country. So tonight, I don't have any guests lined up, but I thought I would go over the secession solution that I constructed, that I drew up. I want to go over some of it again, bring some of it up again, because it's pretty relevant to solving the mess that we're in. For those of you who may know, I not only have criticisms, but I have free market solutions or non-governmental solutions to a lot of the problems, the socio-economic problems that we're faced with. And my secession solution addresses all of these that I know of. It would be a substitution for the current U.S. Constitution, because I'm very much in favor of seceding from the Union. No, I don't want to own slaves. I'm all for states' rights. I believe what Jefferson said when he said that he foresaw the future of the U.S. breaking off into several republics, and he wished them well. Well, I'm totally there with Mr. Jefferson on that. And because Washington is such a cesspool of corruption, it cannot be reformed. They just nibble around the edges. It continues to grow like a huge cancerous tumor that cannot be stopped. The whole cancer thing is a whole other issue. Yes, it could be stopped, but not thanks to the American Cancer Society and the AMA. Thank you very much. So, like I said, I want to talk about a secession solution for our country, because it's such a mess and it's not getting any better, because Obama's policies, well, Obama's the black Bush, actually. It's just more of the same Bush policies at a faster, larger pace. So a few years ago, I wrote my secession solution, and it allows for, you know, the transition of getting new states or territories established based on the ideals of liberty, property, and peace. It's sort of like the U.S. Constitution, only it has more teeth in it. And by that I mean it disallows much more government growth, shenanigans, power, lust for power, overregulation, overtaxation, because, ladies and gentlemen, I see Washington, D.C. as an irreversible cesspool of corruption combined with massive debt and waste, regardless of which party's in power. You know, the federal welfare warfare state, as we call it, continues to further bankrupt our nation So, you know, it's time for us to demand independence and separation from Washington, D.C., because, you know, after all, you know, the states created the federal government, not the other way around. And, you know, as we know, it's pretty obvious, Washington, D.C. is out of control and out of touch with the people, you know. Yet, ironically enough, though, Washington, D.C., which we certainly need a divorce from, Washington, D.C., the federal government has supported secession and separation across the globe. Look at Taiwan, South Korea, South Vietnam, Eastern Europe, Kosovo, and I believe recently Ethiopia. But most of all, secession doesn't mean war, and it, you know, it doesn't mean war between former states or territories, and it certainly has to oppose trade barriers between countries and states. The way I see it, which is the correct way, thank you very much, is that the newly seceded states or territories will self-govern and they'll self-finance. They won't be sending massive amounts of money to a central government authority. If there is a central government, it would be much smaller and far weaker, about 95% of the power that it has today. So, and equally important, I've been saying this for years, all states, well, in this case, all newly seceded states, they would pay for and maintain their own public works. I mean, why should they pay money into Washington so they can dole it back out to us? You know, leave the money in our states. Washington just wastes it. You know, government at all level wastes it, but the more decentralization, the better. Because with federal money, which is our money to begin with, as it goes through the circle, it always comes with more regulation and control, stipulations, da-da-da-da-da, massive details. So with a massive decentralization, we wouldn't have as much such a power trip and the power structure that we have today. Like I like to point out, you know, every state already has a legislature, courts, judges, policemen, firemen, National Guard units, militias, jails, prisons, roads, utility companies, interstate highways, National Guard units, jails, trains, airports, hospitals, buses, banks, credit unions, insurance companies, newspapers, the internet, TV stations, radio stations, libraries, schools, universities, museums, cemeteries, crematoriums, landfills, recycling centers, daycare centers, retirement homes, parks, golf courses, tennis courts, sports complexes, farms, supermarkets, pharmacies, malls, theaters, factories, and numerous types of businesses and services, all types of charities, and much, much more. So you see where this is going. Every state already has the things that the national government has, but all governments, all central governments, all national governments seek more power and control and more centralization of power, more agencies, Department of Homeland Security. So in other words, Republicans failed so badly that they gave themselves, on 9/11, they failed so badly that they gave themselves a $40 billion raise or bonus or increased pay package or pat on the back, self-congratulatory pat on the back by creating a huge government bureaucracy, mind you, under Republicans, you know, the watchdog of the dollar, the so-called conservatives. What a joke. They gave us the Department of Homeland Security, which now has license to grope children, adults, feel people up, which would otherwise be a felony or you'd probably be prosecuted for. But since they have a blue uniform and a badge and government protection, all of a sudden it's not a crime if they do it. So also, every state already has a Department of Commerce, a Department of Health, Departments of Health, Education, Agriculture, Transportation, Environmental Departments, and more. So that begs the question, you know, why are we wasting billions for the same federal agencies? I'd get rid of them. I'd get rid of all those federal agencies, and I would give all their employees their full pay and benefits for a year. And after that, they would be cut loose, and their pensions would transfer into private funds. And hopefully in a short amount of time, the growing private sector would absorb these former government employees. So that's something that it's a direction we could go in. Now, also, what I envision is that these newly seceded states or territories will not have a huge, like I was saying, unrestricted central government. As I said just earlier, momentarily, how governments always want to centralize and have more power, seize more power. So the newly seceded states or territories, as I see this happening, would not have a huge unrestricted central government stirring up international trouble. There would be no empire or nation building and no troops stationed throughout the world, which only causes more trouble, more war, more resentment. And, maybe most of all, there will be no out-of-control, endlessly expanding military, industrial, congressional, banking complex. You know, and it sees opportunity in endless civil wars and conflicts throughout the world, trying to pressure or lobby the U.S. to be involved in all these, you know, stupid civil wars throughout the world and all these troubles. All contrary to the Constitution and America's needs. Because I'm an America firster. I'm not an Israel firster. I despise Israel firsters. I despise the country. I think it's a blight on the world. It's the most dangerous country in the world for Jews to live in. And it's ringed by barbed wire and that huge wall that American tax subsidies have helped to finance. So, you know, it's pathetic, this whole state of Israel, this mess. I'm getting off topic here, but anyway. So now in these new territories that seceded, U.S. citizens from any other states and foreigners who already own property and businesses in these newly seceded states will not have their property or businesses threatened or disturbed or confiscated. And U.S. citizens from states who have not left the Union are free to come and go, to work, to reside, to buy property, and to invest. Roads, bridges, power lines, railroad tracks, and radio and TV towers will not be disturbed. And I contend, quite correctly, that the following conditions and details for the new constitution that I've drawn up, they do not violate anyone's constitutional rights, their property rights, their civil rights, or their human rights. Nor does my new constitution seek to further tax, regulate, or disarm anyone, except violent criminals, of course. And the new constitution would have in place a method to amend it as prescribed by law. Now, as we move towards secession, I wish, all current states must nullify most, if not all, endlessly enacted federal laws, most of which are unconstitutional anyway. Now, the following principles, rules, and severe restrictions on government power would be contained in a new constitution and Bill of Rights for a strictly limited government republic, which is somewhat similar to the U.S. Constitution, yet also including economics with the ethics of liberty as its center core, while always promoting social tolerance and personal responsibility. So if you're with me so far, this is how I'm laying it out. Now I get into the specifics. We'll be getting into the specifics now. Several subtitles. Civil liberties. which would have the same of what we have today, supposedly have today. But, you know, it goes without saying we would have free speech, a free press, religious freedom, freedom from illegal search and seizure, freedom of assembly, freedom of association. These two are very important. Freedom of association and freedom of contract. Strong gun ownership rights. Fully informed juries, thank you very much. Definitely fully informed juries. Term limits across the board with no career politicians and bureaucrats or judges. Civil unions for same-sex couples. Abortion remains legal with absolutely no tax funding, and there are no partial birth abortions. Also, the terminally ill. They are free to use any medication they choose and to make their own decisions in writing and or on video as to when and how to leave our world. Add to that, no government regulation or censorship of the internet. You heard that, Lieberman, Obama, and the rest? No draft registration, no conscription, no drug war, no torture, no victimless crime laws. Absolutely no persecution of holistic alternative medicine. No affirmative action. No government-enforced political correctness. And no judges appointed for life. And no government-imposed travel restrictions. Gee, ladies and gentlemen, we can go to Vietnam, but we can't go to Cuba. Meanwhile, our competitors are building hotels down there and businesses. It would be mainly our competitors from, say, Canada and Europe. And here's an important concept also. No government suspension of civil and economic liberties in times of quote-unquote crisis. We would strive for liberty for all and special privileges for none. Now, we need a sound, strong economic system, which, of course, I, your host, PK, has lined up. Before I continue, once again, you multitudes out there, the millions listening to my wisdom and my solutions, you can call the show here, Third Stream View, at bbsradio.com, 888-429-5471, Station 2. Let me check back on my friends here at BBS. Okay, I haven't received any emails there. Okay, so where was it? All right, so an economic system. Now, our economic system is not pro-business per se, but it's rather free enterprise. And real free enterprise prohibits blurring the line between industry and government. And this is important, folks. The market is a constant discovery process with the entrepreneur as the central creative driving force of society. Combined with that, paraphrasing the great, late great Henry Hazlitt here, the first economic duty of a government is to preserve and protect a true, honest, and competitive free market economy, which will flourish and promote diverse entrepreneurship in an atmosphere of micro taxes and micro regulations with, and these are all no's, no central bank, no barriers to market entry, central bank, i.e. the Federal Reserve, Bank of England. Okay, no barriers to market entry, businesses, alternative energy producers, alternative medicine practitioners, producers, there is no barriers to market entry. Now, mind you, force and fraud and deception, that'll be prosecuted. But generally, everybody else is free to come and go to produce what they want to produce. If they rip people off, they'll be prosecuted. Or if they do it in a small way, you know, word gets out with the internet. You know, one of a businessman's most important assets is his reputation or his business's reputation. So nowadays, that can be shattered, you know, in 10 seconds with an email and a news story. Anyway, back to my no-no-nos in economics. No central bank, no barriers to market entry, No government interference with free trade. Here's one we'll all love. No tax-funded bailouts. No bank is too big to fail. No business is too big to fail. And when I say fail, that means they fail and or go bankrupt, and there is never one penny of tax money going to subsidize or prop up any of these private sector, or what should be private sector, institutions. They can go bankrupt, they can reorganize and flourish again, but in a new atmosphere of micro taxes and micro regulations. In fact, as far as corporate tax, which apparently America has the highest in the world, the fool idiots in the federal government, I would advocate a 2% corporate tax. So businesses could flourish, they could rehire, they could innovate, they could expand, they could move, they could groove, they can do what they want as far as innovating and invention, experimentation, and of course fraud will be prosecuted, and pollution, which is essentially a scientific problem, pollution will be dealt with locally through tort law and through property rights, not with some huge, huge-ass federal government 1,000 miles away telling you what to do. Each state, again, has its own environmental agencies. They will deal with this. In fact, a lot of big companies, even like BP and Exxon and whatnot, steel mills and companies that tend to pollute, they have environmental engineers on their payrolls, on their staff. So they're aware of it. Nobody wants pollution, but there's better ways to address it than nationally from a central government who happens to be the largest polluter in the country, while it continues to pollute Iraq and Afghanistan and had Libya and elsewhere with their stupid depleted uranium from their weaponry, which is, you should see the deformed babies from Iraq if you haven't already. It's just awful. Anyway, back to the nose. I drift off because it's relevant to what certain funding allows to happen. No government ownership of bankrupt businesses. No monopolistic political privilege for industry and labor. That's where they get their special privileges and their monopolistic status, from government privilege. There should be a complete separation of industry and government, as there should be in government and religion. No government fixing of wages and prices. Talk about price fixing. No tax-funded subsidies for business and labor. No monopolistic political privilege for doctors and lawyers. They can't squeeze out chiropractic or naturopathy or homeopathy or other alternative doctors whose only criteria is if they're helping their customers, if their customers are happy. If the customers are happy, we don't need it. What we have now is a damn FDA, DEA, all these damn bureaucracies intervening. Okay, back to the nose. No crony capitalism. No corporate welfare. No corporate socialism. No state capitalism. So corporate socialism, state capitalism, is like quite a bit like Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, those quasi-government cesspools of corruption and bankruptcy. Should never come into creation in the first place. Thanks, Nixon, that SOB Keynesian. All right, no hemp prohibition, and of course no drug war. No protectionism, no mandatory union membership. No tax-funded farm welfare. Farmers are free to grow and produce as much as they like. And if they pay any property tax or other taxes, it will be micro. It will be so much smaller than it is today. No tax-funded sports welfare. I'm especially annoyed by these damn billionaire owners and the millionaire players who want us to build them a stadium. I'd say, see you later, if I was the mayor of a city and they were threatening to leave because they wanted more tax money. I said, see you later. Take your stupid stadium with you. No tax-funded sports welfare, like I just hit on, the stupid stadium, $600 million for that. There was a stadium, a new stadium in Orlando where the Magic plays, like something like $600 million for that. And I think most of it, or a large part of it, came out of taxes. Yeah, it created jobs temporarily for the construction people, I reckon. But, you know, everybody else, well, those are service jobs mostly. You know, anybody can, you know, ticket takers and selling concessions. It's not a labor-intensive factory or office building. No tax-funded science welfare. No tax-funded arts welfare. No NEA. And I'm a musician, but I was never standing in a line for a handout for my garage band. When people keep more of their money, they don't have it taxed away by these foolish governments. They'll have more to spend on the things they like, including private charity. All right. We're still in the nose. Got a few more to go. No government-owned and operated postal service. We already have the U.S. snail. Look what a mess it's in. Look at everything the government runs and what a mess it's in. Because as my grandpa told me probably 30 years ago or 35 years ago, he said, PK, because that's my name, the government is the worst manager of anything. Look at the post office. Look at the schools. Look at Amtrak. Look at the Social Security system. Look at Medicare and Medicaid. They're all in deep financial duress. All right, a few more. No government-enforced FDA-AMA pharmaceutical lobby. Yay! No persecution or harassment of alternative medicine. No persecution or harassment of alternative energy. And I love this one. No irresponsibly encouraging government-subsidized flood insurance. Again, I pronounced the second word wrong. No irresponsibility-encouraging government-subsidized flood insurance. Sure, people build by the oceans and by the coast and by rivers. Well, what do they expect? Nature does what nature does. So why should the rest of us have to be taxed to pay, you know, to bail out those rich bastards and or others who want to live where nature does what nature does? So they would have much higher premiums if they lived or built in those areas, which is fine. They can build there, but their insurance will be very high. So that's the trade-off. You know, they have to pay huge insurance bills. All right, let me finish the no's. No government-controlled mandatory health care. No tax-funded foreign aid. However, citizens are free to donate to charities they support. No government ownership of sports complexes, airports, convention centers, trains, radio, or TV stations. I demand an immediate sell-off of all government ownership of those entities. Again, sports complexes, airports, convention centers, trains, radios, and TV stations. Government should not own any of those. Now, because it is their funds at risk in liability lawsuits, the insurance industry will play a larger role in regulating and inspecting its policyholders, such as the oil industry, coal mines, utility companies, ocean shipping lines, hospitals, the airlines in general, cruise ships, trucking companies, manufacturers, and many other industries. Again, because it's their funds at risk to liability lawsuits, insurance industry will play a larger role in regulating and inspecting its policyholders. I also thankfully, strongly advocate and demand a weakening of the current patent and copyright laws by at least 75%, because they give way too much monopolistic privilege to patent holders and copyright holders, far beyond you know, what would be fair and proper. And here's a very important one. Foreign investment is most welcome and secure. In these new territories that secede, we will not mess with people's property. So if foreigners want to invest and live, they're welcome, especially if they invest a big chunk. You know, they'd probably say they'd have to invest probably $1 million or so in a business before they could get, you know, citizenship. Again, foreign investment is most necessary, welcome, and secure. Now, globally, I'm very proud of this one and all who agree with me. I speak for everyone who agrees with me and no one else. And those that disagree could at least learn something and hopefully change their outlook to coincide with where I'm coming from on this, because I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. These are my words, but it's based on what I've learned from standing on the shoulders of giants, especially my economist, historian, and political economy friends, or should I say authors, writers, mentors, intellectuals. Now, here's a very important one. We oppose world government and any call for a fiat global currency, which is just a wasteful paper currency whose value is determined by what they say it is. All right, we oppose world government and any call for a fiat global currency. No government membership or political subservience to the UN, the Council on Foreign Relations, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, NATO, which is the North American Treaty Organization, NAFTA, which should have been called SHAFTA, Senate's hasty abdication of the Founders' Trade Authority, NAFTA, World Trade Organization, WTO, and CAFTA, and no Export-Import Bank, no EU or any other statist, mercantilist, tax-funded globalist schemes. You hear that, Clinton? And before I go on with my wisdom, brilliance, and humility, I like to say hello to all those pricks from the CIA listening and the NSA and those who would shut us down, those who hate what I stand for and what I have to say, those who would like to find any excuse to close us down, those of us in alternative media, those of us who are not afraid to stand up to Zionism, the Israeli lobby, and the military-industrial complex. Now, the new territories or the new countries or states, the newly seceded ones, that is, need a sound monetary system. Ron Paul talks about this all the time. If you don't have a sound monetary system, the nation will collapse into chaos and a mess. So with this monetary system, as I mentioned earlier, in fact, at the top of the nose, no central bank, that is the Federal Reserve System, elsewhere would be the Bank of England, or the Bank of France, or the Bank of Italy, or the Bundesbank, or the Bank of Japan. Those are all government-run, tax-funded. For my system, there is no central bank. An example, the Federal Reserve, which causes the economy's boom and bust cycle through inflationary credit expansion caused by artificially lowering interest rates below market forces. So Greenspan's been a big part of this mess, him and Bernanke. Personally, I think they should both be tried and executed for economic treason. All right, back to my monetary system. I've explained how central banking causes the boom and bust cycle through inflationary credit expansion caused by artificially lowering interest rates below market forces. So people get the illusion of this cheap money or cheap to borrow money. But those who get the money first, defense contractors, welfare recipients, the banks, bankers, they spend the money before prices rise. And prices do not all rise uniformly. We're seeing these high oil gas prices now. But according to the gold standard and the silver standard, the price is pretty much the same. It's just that other countries know how worthless the dollar is because it's constantly being printed and created and thrown out of circulation. No wonder it's worth less, and they don't want to deal with it, which is something that, as I understand it, Iraq didn't want to do, nor Iran years ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago, because they knew the dollar was losing value. They wanted euros at the time. Well, the euro's not too good a shape either. But since the dollar is the global why don't I say global currency? It's the, I guess it is the global currency in a sense. There's another phrase for it I couldn't think of. I guess contained in all that. But be that as it may, there's a few more here for the monetary system. No monopolistic legal tender laws. So if you want to issue your own coin-backed currency or your own paper money currency and ruin yourself along with it and your instruments, hey, you can leave those things here. The monopolistic legal tender laws means that if you want to coin your own coins out of a valuable, be it gold, silver, platinum, anything else that's worth value and the public feels free to use and trade with freely, there's no barrier to that. And most of all, no endless supply of paper money created out of thin air and backed by nothing. No gold, no silver. It's just what we call a fiat currency. It's basically what the government says it's worth or says it is. Now, here's a very important one also. No government-imposed fixed exchange rate between gold and silver. No taxes or government interference with the creation and supply of gold and silver currency or other currency-backed valuable commodities. So if other currencies were backed by platinum or, I don't know, copper, other valuable metals, aluminum, anything that's of value and is, keeps it value and the money's not inflated beyond what the value of the gold and silver or other commodities is, that is acceptable. No government confiscation or prohibition of gold and silver or any other commodities which are freely accepted in the competitive marketplace. No government interference with competing currencies. No government bailouts of foreign banks or any other financial institutions. I like that one. So you see where I'm headed with all this? It's a way to fix things, and I still say that it is not, nothing I do is trying to take anything away from anyone. Well, yes, people are going to lose their jobs, but these are a lot of government employees, staffing agencies that just oppress us and overregulate us. And I've already explained how they would be dealt with and they would get their 1 year full pay and their, you know, their pensions would be transferable. But after that year, they'd have to be absorbed in the private sector because a lot of these government employees and bureaucrats and clerical workers we just don't need. But the private sector hopefully would move in and take their place because the private sector is not only absolutely important, but it's constantly innovating or growing. It's a constant discovery process. So we especially welcome entrepreneurship, innovation, and technology. And now on to that ugly subject of taxations. How are we going to pay for all this junk? Well, first of all, we're going to have a very strictly limited constitutional government. And as you can see where I'm going with all this, my details here, my requirements here, these are all mandatory things, if you will, sort of, although I don't like the word mandatory, but in this case, it's mandatory. It's mandatorily. Is that a word? Preserving liberty, property, and peace. Like I said, I'm not depriving anyone of their civil rights, their property rights, or their human rights. Okay, the next topic again is the ugly topic of taxation. Now, I say all taxes must remain micro taxes. That's a couple percentage points. There need only be enough tax revenue to fund what is listed in the new strictly limited constitution. There need be only enough tax revenue to fund what is listed in the new strictly limited constitution. And budgets must be balanced only by spending cuts with no raising of taxes. And no government borrowing and no printing money. This has given governments throughout the world its monopolistic stature. When they realized, oh, we don't have to raise taxes. We can just inflate or borrow money. No. Budgets must be balanced only by spending cuts. with no raising taxes, no government borrowing, and no printing money. Also a form of taxation, a voluntary taxation, there will be a free market in lotteries from anywhere and everywhere, out of state, out of country. I recommend a 2% excise tax on gambling, alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana. Because yes, in this new free society, there is no drug war. Marijuana is not persecuted. It's not acceptable for minors to use it, but it's there and it will be used. Now, a 2% corporate tax. Well, I had to have some tax on it because the liberals are wet their pants. But where does all that tax money come from? I mean, it comes from the consumer who buys the stuff and they pass the tax along. Now, if there are to be any property taxes in the new territories, they must be micro taxes. In fact, I recommend cutting everyone's property tax in half and frozen for at least the next 10 years. That is while we're moving towards this new republic. Now, food, clothing, housing, cars and trucks are exempt from sales tax, as they should be. As they should be. Okay? Now, moving along, these principles are part of the tax situation. These are all no's. Preceded by, again, what I just said, food, clothing, housing, cars, and trucks are exempt from sales tax. However, gas taxes would still pay for the roads. And there would be toll roads. But with the absence of hardly taxes, hardly any taxes, you'd have more disposable income. So yes, there'll be some micro taxes, but nothing like there is today. And we'll all be taken care of. It'll be just fine. Now, further back with the tax thing, there are no income taxes. There are no withholding taxes. There is certainly no inheritance tax. There's no taxes on interest income. There's no estate taxes, and there's no death taxes. There's no capital gains tax. There's no taxes on retirement income. How dare they tax Social Security when people already paid into it? There are no prohibitions to internet gambling. And as I mentioned before, all states must pay for their own public works. I mean, that alone will make a big deal. Now, user fees are only for roads, bridges, and state parks. You know, all road and bridges fees go only towards their purpose and may not be used for schools, health care, or any other non-infrastructure purposes. So, all tolls and taxes that are specifically directed towards the infrastructure of roads, bridges, highways, they go only to the infrastructure and nowhere else, not to schools, not to sick children, not to adult cancer patients. No, that money only goes to maintain the roads and bridges and the infrastructure. Now, Social Security is a little tricky because I start out with asking our former federal government to honor all Social Security obligations or offer a lump sum buyout to current recipients. And they can do that, as Ron Paul has always suggested, by this damn huge overseas contingency plan and spending for this empire and this global stationing of over 900 military bases in over 140 countries. There is no constitutional authority to do that. How would the pro-war people or the pro-Bush crowd, how would they like it if China or Russia had bases on our territory or next door and our neighbors pointing at us? You know, it's a two-way street. We don't hear everything that Washington's up to, but there's reactions to things. Like I said before, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, you know, us versus them. I never knew that one of the main reasons that Russia was putting missiles over there in Cuba was because the U.S. had missiles in Turkey pointing at Russia. I never knew that. And once you hear these valuable parts of the puzzle, you kind of slap your forehead and go, oh no wonder. You know, Russia didn't just put missiles in Cuba because Castro wanted missiles in Cuba. They were going to put him there because the U.S. had him in Turkey. So, you know, what makes the U.S. special? I know, we're that shining city on the hill. Now, back to Social Security, which I'm still shocked to find out a few years ago that they even taxed it. I didn't even know they taxed it. And they've lost so much of it, mismanaged so much of it. All right, Social Security. We ask our former federal government to honor all Social Security obligations or offer a lump sum buyout to current recipients. So, if you're over 50 or over 55 and you're eligible for Social Security, we're not going to tax it. Or we're not going to, you know, lobby fees against it. I'd say maybe by the So individuals who have paid into the system and who really don't need it and don't mind forgoing it are asked just to opt out of recovering it. So if you don't really need the gold, or your place, if your place is almost paid for and you have a small mortgage, where was I on that? I've kind of lost my thought there. Individuals who've already paid into the system, mostly the well-to-do, if they really don't need it, you know, multimillionaires and whatnot, they should just forego it and just opt out of receiving it. And that could be used to pay off others who do need it. Now, there is no longer a mandatory government-funded Social Security system. All individuals are free to contribute to their own private retirement system, of which many options will come into existence. And especially, there are no taxes on retirement income. What kind of BS is that? You know? Now, I guess it's conceivable in this society that you could still have a government Social Security system or healthcare system based on voluntary donations or taxes. Because since a lot of people favor it, why don't all those who favor it pay into it and cut the rest of us loose? Where you would otherwise complain about businesses in the private sector with any so-called monopolistic practices or price fixing, how come government allows it? You know, it's ridiculous. Someone can be retired and have their monthly pay coming to them through their trust or life insurance policies. And I advocate no taxes on retirement income. Now, here's one of my favorite ones. And I didn't write a lot about it, but it really lays it out. Education. You ready for this, folks? Education is far too important to be left up to the monopolistic, socialistic, government-owned schools and their teachers' unions to indoctrinate, regulate, and control. So I'm a big proponent of private schools and also private church schools. All right, again, education is far too important to be left up to monopolistic, socialistic, government-owned schools and their teachers' unions to indoctrinate, regulate, and control. We don't need state education. We don't need state thought control. Hey, teacher, tell the state to go. That is my brilliant reinterpretation of the song, of that Pink Floyd song. All right. Now, private schools of all secular and religious types must be allowed to flourish anywhere and everywhere, free of government control, and homeschooling will not be persecuted, harassed, or prohibited. I love homeschooling. I'm all for it. All schools must serve the needs of their customers, that is, the parents and children. And if they don't, they fail. Now, entrepreneurship is very good for education, too. I've seen martial arts schools and music schools continue to thrive in strip malls and elsewhere. Yet, you know, so could math and science schools. I've seen some math schools, so this is all good news. But you could also have science schools, computer schools, English schools. Now, and many other innovative education opportunities will develop, and the former government schools would be leased as private schools, competitive private schools. And this is very important. There will be more trade schools and technical schools. Those seem to have vanished as there were used to be, exist more years ago. They're very useful to someone who's not college bound or doesn't have what it takes for college or isn't well, you know, doesn't have the scores to get in or, you know, the math scores, the English scores. So we're providing these other options. And technical schools is good too, because for those who aren't cut out for school but like working with their hands and like, you know, like machinery and engines and motors, you know, all that stuff. And of course, nowadays computers, good for them. That's the direction they would go in. It's the direction that the great PK sees it going in. Now, back to healthcare. There's only two things I know that are best for everybody that I would ever say I know better or I know best for everyone. And that is for everyone, the best economic system they could have is a true free market economic system. And the second one, second thing I know that I would say, not that I would impose on everybody, but it's what I know is right for everybody. And that is, under healthcare. So I had the first one, which is a true free market, the best thing that I know of for people of the two. That's the first one. The second one is under healthcare. And the first in line is that diet, nutrition, vitamin and mineral supplementation, exercise and holistic alternative medicine, namely chiropractic, naturopathy, homeopathy and acupuncture and more, should be everyone's first choice for health maintenance and illness prevention. There's no government harassment or persecution of holistic alternative medicine. I'm sick of this crap where they're shutting down alternative doctors and picking on people who are trying to help other people. And they're not, 99.9% of the time, they're not sued or complained about by their customers. They're complained about and sued and shut down by the regulatory agencies of the state and those special interests who lobby the state to do their dirty work. Under healthcare, second, and this is very important, of course, extension of the first one, no government harassment or persecution of holistic alternative medicine. No government harassment or persecution of holistic alternative medicine producers and manufacturers of vitamins, minerals, equipment, and machinery. Those bastards in Washington, they want to crack down on, and the FDA, AMA, they want to harass or shut down the whole supplements industry and make vitamins. If you want vitamins or minerals, they want to make it so you need to get a prescription. You expand the doctor's power, the doctor's role. That's not free market, you know. More of the same government-imposed status crap. Now, no government-enforced FDA AMA pharmaceutical monopoly. I call that the evil triangle of the FDA AMA pharmaceutical companies triangle. No tax-supported health care and no mandatory health insurance. No government-mandated requirements on health insurance. That makes it more expensive, too, when government, by what right do they have, except force, to tell insurance companies what they must and may not cover. That so distorts the marketplace. It really distorts it. No tax-supported health care and no mandatory health insurance. I just mentioned that. No government-mandated requirements on health insurance. The purpose of health insurance, by the way, is mainly for catastrophic purposes. So that's why, you know, and if you can weather a large deductible, which medical savings accounts would give us, then you could pay catastrophic insurance out of that, which is not that expensive. And out-of-pocket things out of your medical savings account. Because as I just said, the purpose of health insurance is mainly for catastrophic purposes. Now, as a very partial solution, tax-free medical savings accounts become the norm. They are portable, and if need be, medical insurance premiums may be paid from them. So that would be better, have a voucher for the really poor. They could use medical savings accounts, or could they have their own set up? And especially in reforming healthcare, regardless of what these screaming idiots say, you know, the left version, the right version, they're both two sides of the same statist socialistic coin. This important, very important tort law reform and the reform of outrageous jury awards, which contribute to higher health care costs and higher insurance premiums. Because the lawyers could just as easily represent either side with cocktails at six, you know, and they get at least a third. And what do they have? Besides their brilliant law education, they have an office with some secretaries and a library. They don't own a fleet of cars. They don't have a big business with, you know, factories and equipment to be accounted for and tires and steel and all this other stuff. All right. Lawyers just have, you know, a secretary, like I said, in a library. No fleets of cars and this and that. Yet they get at least a third. At least a third. So they're the statist go-between government and the private sector. We still need them, but they need to be seriously neutered. Tort law reform and reform of outrageous jury awards, which contribute to higher health care costs and higher insurance premiums. And the lawyers get at least a third anyway, the bastards. All right, here's a good one too. Physicians are free to publicly post and to clearly advertise that they, quote, do not have malpractice insurance, unquote. Their customers enjoy immediate lower costs. Now, there will be no government interference in purchasing insurance across state lines. No government interference or prohibition in purchasing of foreign medicines. No government interference into the medication choices of the terminally ill. How dare they mess with medical marijuana for, you know, terminal patients and very ill patients. No government interference into the wishes of the exit strategy of the terminally ill. No mandatory vaccinations, thank you very much. No government interference in advertising by doctors and dentists. Now, this is very important here. Drug addiction, alcoholism, and gambling addiction will be treated medically with education, prevention, and compassion. Instead of this ridiculous drug war that's probably cost about $1 trillion since idiot Nixon's inception of it. I think it was in 71. I forget. I saw a commemorative date on it. I don't think it was the fall. I think it was earlier that in the summer or the spring. And of course, that was the year, August 71, that idiot Nixon imposed his price control, which took us off the gold standard completely. What I will not do is impose price controls on our country and our economy. And then a couple months later, he's calling for price controls. It's funny to see the speeches, the hypocritical bastard. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we've covered many of these topics from my secession solution. Next time, unless I have a guest, we'll talk about charity. It might outline for several charity and social welfare, guns, energy, foreign policy and defense, NASA, Amtrak, and the environment. So it's time for me, just like on the Mouseketeers when they had to go, it's time for me to go. Because I am your host, PK, and I am here every Monday evening. Here at bbsradio.com. Station 2. And I am here every Monday evening. As I said, 8:55 Pacific. 10:55 Central and 11:55 Eastern. I'm your humble host, PK, and I'm signing off, and I'll talk to you again, same time, same place, next week, which will be Monday, April 9th. Good night, everyone.